You are listening to the Mountain View Community Church Sermon Podcast. We're glad to share this message with you. Our mission is to help you discover the joy and peace of Jesus, develop your God-given gifts, and deploy into a life of kingdom service. You can learn more about our church at mountainviewnepa.org.
After I got up here, I realized I forgot to turn that on. So, yes, as Tupper said, I'm Amanda Furster. Been coming here for like 3-4 years now. And for those of you who knew me 2 years ago, the fact that I'm even standing up here giving the message is a testament to what God has been doing in my life. Because 2 years ago, I paced the back of the church not wanting to give a 2-minute testimony when I partnered. So today's message is going to be a little different. I don't have a scripture message for you, but instead I'm going to take you on a journey that will allow me to share with you the lessons that God has been teaching me over the past 2 years. On November 11th of 2022, a group of us from this church went to see the show David at Sight and Sound. That is where this journey begins. During the show, David continually sang about how the battle belongs to the Lord, and something stuck that night. I couldn't tell you what yet, but it was clear that God had begun to stir something in my heart. Those who knew me best could see the gears turning in my head simply by looking at me. A few days later, my journey with YWAM would begin. When I came across a course teaching about identity and calling, it was 10 weeks of learning about what God has to say about you, and another 10 weeks sharing that same message in the mission field. Fear quickly struck. In order to do this, God first had to convince me to let go of all of the things that I was already finding my identity in. I had to surrender a job that I loved to him. I had to release the independence I had found in having a place I could call mine by giving up my lease. And I had to trust that the people that I had come to love so dearly and that I had learned to rely on would not simply forget about me when I left. This was a big ask and led to the first lesson. We must trust that when God asks us to give up something we love in life, it is because he has something much better in store for us that we may not yet see. It also taught me that following God does not come without sacrifice. During my first school, there were many lessons I learned through classes and personal time with God. Lessons such as the importance of being in the Word, as well as knowing the historical context when it comes to interpreting some of the lessons of the Bible. We were often reminded that the Bible was written for us, but not to us. During this time, we were required to read through the entire Bible and to write messages on different topics. We spent an entire week studying the character and nature of God, and then had to pick one of the characteristics of God to write a message on. This was one of the weeks that God really used to work in my heart. I kept coming back to the steadfast nature of God and God as a good father and provider. The person teaching us read us Horton Hatches an Egg. In this book, Horton is asked over and over again why he doesn't give up on what he is doing. And he keeps saying, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. This line is so true of God. He means what he said, and he said what he meant. He is not going to give up on us or walk away from us, no matter how many times we walk away from him or forget our promises. He is faithful 100%. I want to take a moment to share a few key points from the message I wrote that week. I started the assignment thinking I was going to write about God as a good father. I started defining a good father as a provider, protector, leader, teacher, helper, encourager, and friend. And quickly realized that I was going to have to pick one of these. That was so much, a good father is so much more than one characteristic of God. That is a multi-message topic. So then I began to focus on God as provider, because that was something I knew I struggled with myself. A provider is a person who gives someone something they need. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." I had watched God provide for my needs over and over again in the year before writing this message, from using the Hers and the Johnsons to provide housing for me, to using many people to provide the finances that I needed to leave my job for a year and take these courses. When we take a closer look at this verse, though, we see that the way he meets our needs is according to the riches of his glory. This means that although he does provide for all of our needs, it isn't always the way that we would expect or want. The book of Exodus is a great example of this. In Exodus 14, God had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, only to lead them into the desert and make it appear as though they were trapped by the sea. But God did provide a way for them to escape when he parted the Red Sea and allowed them to walk through. Later, the people are hungry, and God provides bread for them. This same concept can be applied to our lives as well. When we are truly open to God moving in our lives, we must accept the ways that he wants to write our story and not try to write it ourselves. When I finally moved out of the Johnsons into a home that I was renting, I felt as though I was finally making it, and I was on the path to proving that I could be an adult. 2 years later, I have returned from my missionary journey, and because of having to give up my lease to pursue God's call for me, I no longer have a place to call my own. But that does not mean that God has left me homeless either. He has blessed me with a new family, as the Gardeners have taken me into their home until I can find a place of my own again. Both the definition of provider and Philippians 4:19 use the word need, not want. God's provision is based on his definition of need, not ours. Fast forwarding my story a bit, well, in the outreach phase of my first school, I learned even more that our plans are not always his. What we thought would be halfway through our time in Lebanon, the attacks in Israel started, and we were quickly moved to another country for our safety. During the 5 weeks we spent in this unplanned country, we learned that everyday life can be ministry. As we began going to coffee shops and boardwalks to make friends in hopes of sharing the gospel, because the only way we could share our faith was if the people around us asked, as we were living in a closed nation where evangelism was illegal. My first school taught me who God is and who he says I am. After learning who I am, I decided to take a second school to learn more about what that means. During my School of Supernatural Missions, we learned about the gifts and power that God has given to each of us through His Spirit. I grew in my confidence in both prayer and worship. I saw healing for the first time as I grew in my confidence to pray for it. And I was able to speak identity over others as I grew in my confidence to pray for the prophetic. Many ask why we don't see healing of the Bible today, and why we see even less of it in our nation. As the sports saying goes, we miss 100% of the shots we don't take. I learned that if we want to see healing and revelation, we must be willing to step out and pray for healing and revelation. I grew in my desire to worship and express my creativity. As we talked about how God is our creator and we are created in His image, which means we are created to create as well. During this time, I began to write more. And the first creative expression I wrote was a poem titled, "What is Life?" And I would like to share that revelation with you now. Life. What is life? Life is defined as any system capable of performing functions such as eating, metabolizing, excreting, breathing, moving, growing, reproducing, and responding to external stimuli. But there has to be something more to this word. Life, as defined above, is very black and white, very boring. If this is all life is, then what are we living for? Life is love, love that surpasses understanding. It is love that is not afraid to go against the norm. It is love that stands to call you out in order to call you higher. It is love that is not afraid to go the distance with you or to release you when you are called to more. Love is inspiring others, living a life that calls others higher, a life that others see and want to model, a life that leaves others wanting more of what you have, not because of who you are, but because of who you model your life after. Life is faith. Faith in something more. Faith that surpasses understanding. Faith that calls you to step out even when you don't have all the answers, when you don't fully know what you are stepping into or what is next. Faith sets your eyes on the Lord. Life is evangelizing. It is living a way that positions you to share the good news of Jesus with others in such a way that many non-Christians come to know Christ. It is not always done through words, but also through actions. It is not a set time, but a lifestyle choice. So what do you say? Would you ride this wave with me? Are you willing to dive deep and live this kind of life with me? After writing this, dive deep is exactly what I did, traveling to Japan to share the gospel and seeing many miracles through healing prayer and continuing to grow in my confidence and ability to write. So much so that after this school, I decided to take a school of worship where I would learn the basics of how to play guitar and be challenged to write my own worship songs. As we learned about how to keep our eyes fixed on God, not man, while leading worship. Because the minute Our heart posture began to focus on man. Our works became performance instead of praise. In the end, what I learned was that everything we do should be led by the Spirit. And that once we receive that Spirit, we are called to keep our eyes fixed on Him and to share the good news that we have received with others. And with that, I would like to end by playing you one of the songs that I wrote during my last school called So They Receive. This song is based on different pieces of scripture from throughout the Bible. And there is a verse in it that says, "Where are the nations? They are with me, sharing the gospel right where I am." This is meant to be a reminder that the mission field can be on the other side of the world in some foreign nation. But it is also right outside the doors of this church. It is your neighbor, your coworker, and the stranger in line with you at the grocery store. The people of this community need to hear the gospel just as desperately as those in far-off nations.
The nations are calling, workers are needed, Lord is calling, whom shall he send? The advocate is coming, peace he will bring, teaching the nation so they receive. The harvest is ready, laborers are few. Teaching the nations so they receive. Where are the nations? They are with me, sharing the gospel right where I am. The advocate is in me, peace we will bring. Teaching the nations so they receive. The nations are calling, workers are needed. In you, peace you can bring, teaching the nation so they receive.
Every tribe, nation, and tongue, that is the call of the Lord on all who receive. Are you willing to answer that call? Yes, the nations are far, but they are also right here. Your challenge today, go out and share. Peace you can bring, teaching the nations so they can receive.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share this message with a friend.